talking about is everything God says good. You know, yesterday, if you're a part of Boomerang Church Albemarle, we had quite the time in the Word of God. And today we want to really kind of dissect it. Not dissect it. That's the wrong word. We want to look at it as believers who are hungry to grow. Because if God, if everything that God says is good, then there should never be a time when God brings a word to me and I should leave anything less than full of joy.
Yeah.
Never. No matter what the word is. And so yesterday at Boomerang here in Albemarle, the Lord brought a word of correction to the body. Correction to the body. Correction that we needed. Like truly, correction that the when the body takes hold of it, we're going to rise up to new places. But Pastor brought actually a really sobering moment. The Lord spoke through Pastor. He brought up how in the past, the Lord used to have him preach correctively and bring some needed correction to the body. And there were people who would receive it with gladness, people who would receive it with joy, and they would stay, get planted, and their life looked night and day different. Yeah. And then there were people who would hear the word, like in the parable of the sower, there were people who would hear the word, their hearts would get hardened toward it, the seed wouldn't get planted, and before we knew it, they were gone. And there are two options that are in front of us. Whenever God speaks, we can either receive it with joy, knowing that everything God says is good, because that answer is duh. Yes, everything God says is good. And there are those who will hear it. They'll get hardened to it. They'll get defeated by it. They'll just believe that there's no hope left. They'll get familiar. And before you know it, even if they're in the church, their heart's callous to God's ways. And that's not what God wants. And we here, we've all experienced all of that. We've experienced doing it well. We've experienced doing it wrongly. And we want to see our company, our partners with this ministry. We want to see every person attached to this vine thrive in the courts of heaven and skyrocket into the abundance that we're called to have. So today we're going to have a conversation about what took place yesterday, what we saw, what we've walked through. And we're believing that in Jesus' name, anyone watching is going to be able to receive this and realize if they can do it, so can I. Because that's how God works. He's not a respecter of persons. So that's what we're talking about today. Excited to have you on. Share the broadcast if you have not done so yet. And let's hop into the word. ¿Cómo se dice the word?
La palabra.
I said la biblioteca, and that's the library, not the word. But I was with the books.
It's with a lot of words.
yes, that is so true. And what we were really talking about yesterday, and what the team has been meditating on this morning, is that the word says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 16, God is commanding, and he says, rejoice always. And I know that seems like a small statement. I mean, it's literally a small, it's two words, but it's still a command from God to be esteemed very, very highly. And he commands us to rejoice always. Well, if he didn't expect us to rejoice always, if there was a time where he's expecting us to not rejoice, then he would be unfair to say that. But he's a very fair God. He's a very honest and just God. So if he's saying rejoice always, this means that even when he brings correction to us, hey, you need to change this, he's not expecting us to do what our flesh thinks is normal. And, well, when I get corrected, I mean, honestly, my flesh has thought when I get corrected, in order to honor the correction better, I should be down and low and stuff to let them know that, man, I really took that to heart. I'm not just brushing it off.
Mm-hmm.
But that's gotten me in trouble because I, in efforts to be humble, I've taken on false humility. Mm-hmm. And when I've gotten corrected, man, I've gotten beat up. I've beat myself up for days and weeks and months even. Man, I just did so bad, so bad. But God says here, rejoice always. So that means even when he brings correction, let's look at the why. Why is he bringing correction? We see all throughout the word, the only times he brings correction is to help us. It's not to fuss and punish us. It's to help us. It's to bring us to a higher place. Yeah. So it's all coming from a heart of love. Everything God does for us, even if it seems not fun, it's all from a heart of love. So even when he says, hey, fix this, clean this up, change your ways, he's saying, because you're headed in a not right path. Mm-hmm. This is headed towards not life and prosperity and health and goodness to you. And I want you to be in all of those things. So fix it this way so that you can have all those things. So even that, even correction is something we should rejoice in and be joyful in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whom the love lords, he disciplines, right?
What?
The Bible says who the Lord loves, he disciplines, right?
Yes.
And why? Because discipline's an act of love.
Yes.
You know, correction's an act of love. You know, that's love manifesting, right?
Yeah.
You know, the reason why someone would correct somebody else. Now, someone who has authority to correct, because, you know, you can walk around and correct everyone. It's because I love you. And you're just like, just being a jerk. But like, but, you know, if I'm submitted to someone, I need to allow them to bring correction into my life. Because I need to honestly allow them to love me, you know?
Yeah.
And the Lord, because he loves me, wants to steer me on the right path. This morning, I was just thinking about like a chiropractor, right?
Yeah.
Why do you go to a chiropractor? To get a correction, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's why they call it a correction, you know? Mm-hmm. Like, you could like go to a chiropractor and be like, yeah, my left big toe is a little numb, you know, and they just can just pop one thing in your neck and all of a sudden, like, I can feel my left big toe now, you know, like, and it's like, how can those things even be correlated or connected, you know, and a lot of times when correction comes, it's like, I don't see how this is connected to my issue, or I don't see where this has anything to do with what I'm going through right now, or like, this is most of the time, like, why don't we address the issue and not my response to the issue? You know, like, but the purpose of that correction is because somewhere along the line, something has been off and it needs to get back into place for everything to function properly. And if I resist, like, if you go to a chiropractor and you're constantly tensing up and resisting it, you're not going to get the correction that you need. You'll actually end up hurting yourself.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so, but if I need correction, it's my responsibility to relax and yield to the correction. You know why? Because that correction is designed to get things flowing properly again. And same thing with our lives. You know, whenever the purpose of my shepherd or my pastor is to oversee my life, and I need to yield and allow. The shepherd, or just the Lord himself, which oftentimes that comes through the shepherd because that's what he's gifted to do. Yeah. I need to allow that correction to come so that what God wants to flow through me, to me, in me, out of me is able to do that. And how do I do that? Just by yielding to it.
Yeah.
I think it's really important as a foundation for correction to understand that being in a corrupted world, probably most of the correction that we've seen has been corrupted correction. So for me, my view of correction my whole life was, for the most part, correction comes when there's anger.
Yeah.
When something is wrong and correction comes when someone's out of control.
Yeah.
That's a lot of the correction that I saw. That's what I thought was normal. And what I thought was, when you're operating in love, you're operating in self-control and there's not much correction. So I saw corrupted correction.
Yeah.
So I thought, love means softness. Love means a lack of correction and self-control. And it kind of almost in a worldly way makes sense, but it's worldly. I think it's important to recognize we really haven't seen much healthy correction in the world. A lot of it comes out of anger. And honestly, not even just the world, even myself, my flesh, I would say, I can pretty confidently say, most of the correction that has come from me has been corrupt.
Yeah.
Has been out of anger.
Sure.
Or fear. Mm-hmm. Like, I mean, you guys working with me, like, I know that you guys have seen that. I know you've seen that. Having a close relationship with me, a lot of times when I have corrected you, it's mm-hmm. been out of the flesh.
Sure, sure.
So it's important to recognize not all, a lot of the correction yeah. that we've seen, we have to renew our minds to it mm-hmm. because yeah. a lot of it has been corrupt.
Yeah, and it's easy to see one thing one way and think everything's that way.
Yeah.
But we see if there wasn't a godly correction, then we would see Jesus not correcting anyone at all. Mm-hmm. But I mean, obviously, I mean, we see in the Gospels, Jesus corrected. He corrected people, but it was still in love. So there's correction is good.
It's mm-hmm. love.
It is love, but it has to come.
Godly correction is love.
Yes, godly correction is coming from a place of love. But there's a right way to do it and there's a wrong way to do it. But we see it's not just always, you are just so great. And I mean, that is so great. That love doesn't always look like that sometimes. Mm-hmm. I mean, this example is used often, but the perfect thing that love could do in that moment where Jesus was in the temple was braid the whip and yeah. whip the money changers out. That was coming from a heart of love. Mm-hmm. Because yeah. he was led in that moment,
yeah.
Holy Spirit telling him, this is what needs to happen. Because those money changers are deceiving my people mm-hmm. in this temple. They're trying to come to me, and they're being deceived and led astray.
Yeah,
and it could ruin their lives. Mm-hmm. That's why Jesus was bringing correction in that moment, was still from a heart of love.
Yeah.
So we can see, yes, the world, the devil takes everything that God has and deceives it and turns it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we see that so often. He, what's the word? He, either way, basically he takes every good thing and deceives it and twists it. Counterfeits it. That's the word. Thank you. He counterfeits yeah. everything that the Lord has. There's counterfeit anointings in yeah. the world. There's counterfeit, you know, being filled with joy, you know, counterfeit joys and counterfeit, you know, being drunk in the spirit, just being drunk, you know, there's counterfeit correction too, yes. like what you were speaking
yes.
to. And we've got to realize real true correction is loving.
Yeah.
It's loving. It may not feel like it. All discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. So just because it feels not joyful yeah. in the moment doesn't mean, man, that's wrong correction. That's not coming from a heart of love.
Yeah.
It doesn't always feel joyful, but we've got to look at the word. Mm-hmm. Look at the word as our example. And we see Jesus, he doesn't just correct the Pharisees. He corrects his disciples.
Mm-hmm.
He corrects them a good bit, actually.
Yeah.
He literally tells Peter, get behind me, Satan. And he loved Peter so, so much. And the truth is, he loved the disciples, or the Pharisees, too.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking about it this morning. A lot of times, I'm just kidding, Sammy's scrambling.
I love you, Samantha. I was thinking about it this morning about James 1 and verse 2, and a lot of times, I'll read it in a second, a lot of times we associate this passage of scripture with, oh man, I'm encountering like something in front of my face right now. Like there's an issue that's brought to me. Like here's a mountain I'm going to overcome. And honestly, when it says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, correction can be a trial to the flesh. Because it's literally putting your flesh on trial. Because
yeah.
If I'm doing something that warrants correction, it means that I wasn't doing it by the Spirit of God. My flesh, my soul, something corrupted was involved. Because if it was perfect, God wouldn't need to speak to me. Other than just, attaboy, good job. No, clearly there was something off, and God loves me enough to bring that correction to me. So what's happening when a correction comes? My flesh is being put in the hot seat, and it's being told, okay, you were following this way. We're going to cut this part of the flesh out. We're going to cut this part of logic out, and here's the better way to operate. And my flesh undergoes what feels like a trial. And what does God tell us to do? We're to consider it all joy.
Mm-hmm.
Every single bit of it, we're to consider yeah. it joy, which goes to Hebrews 12:11 when it says, all discipline for the moment seems not to be joyful. It may seem that way, but my responsibility as a Christian, as a believer, as someone that God loves and who loves God, I need to consider it joy. Yeah. Like, it's not enough to just choose to be in a place where correction's coming. Like, I used to, what I used to do, because Pastor would preach on the importance of correction, the importance of receiving his word, and I would think, okay, I'm doing this right. Pastor's preaching hard, or George is saying XYZ to me, and I'm not saying anything back. I'm not running away. I'm sitting here. But inside, the flesh would be like boiling. Yeah. Like, it would hit that boiling over point of, I'm taking it, but I was so angry as I was getting it. Why? Because my flesh was the one in the driver's seat. My flesh was the one that was still in control. And as it was going through the trial of the flesh, it was trying to rule and reign. And it wasn't until I realized I need to not just be obedient to be under a corrective word. I've got to be willing to be here.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the word tells us we've got to be willing and obedient if we want to eat the good of the land. I can't just think that I've got this correction thing like checked off if when it's coming, I'm getting ticked off while it's coming. If while it's coming, I'm defending myself in my own mind, or I'm thinking of all the reasons why I'm still right. I've got to receive it excitedly knowing, so what, I missed it. So what, I didn't know. Clearly it was an ignorant moment, but this means I don't have to be ignorant anymore. This means I can go higher. This means there's a new level that's available for me to walk in. And it wasn't until I really yielded to that by trusting that God's only correcting me from love that things started to shift. Because until that point, Pastor and I would butt heads, and George and I would butt heads, and Pastor Nicole and I would butt heads, not out of anger on their part, but because I would respond to correction so stinkily. Though on the outside, people around me would have thought I was doing decent, because I'd sit there, I'd amen, I'd say the right words, I'd preach the right words behind them, and then I'd go home and beat myself up and curl up on my bed and cry all night long because I'd missed it, and how could I miss it? And I lived in this condemnation cycle. Because instead of considering it all joy when I encountered various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and let endurance have its perfect result so you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing, I instead yielded to, it doesn't feel good, and I messed up, and I'm the worst, and I can't believe I'm it. When God's not thinking that stuff at all.
Yeah.
God's not thinking that a little bit when he's correcting me. He's correcting us because he loves us and he wants us to receive it well. Like we above all else, we've got to get really good at happily receiving it. Not just receiving it, not just being in the room when it happens, hearing it and knowing it's going to be okay. It's actually going to be better than it was before I heard the correction, because my life's going to increase from this point onward. But that's so backwards to how we've thought. Yeah. It's a rewiring time.
Well, you know, like what's sticking out to me is Romans chapter 8.
Yeah.
You know, the mindset on the flesh is death. You got to ask yourself, like, in those moments, where's my mindset? You know, is my mind... Yeah. Like, what is my focus? As the correction's coming, as the, hey, you did this wrong, or hey, this is an area where you need to fix it. Like, we've, most of us growing up in a corrupted world have learned fight or flight techniques. You know, either we fight or we flee. You know, either we just stop and then run, you know, or mentally we run, you know, or mentally or physically, we fight. We fight it. We resist it. You know, and we need to learn how to, and that both of those are flesh. Fight and flight are both flesh. You know, that's my flesh trying to protect itself. That's that's me trying to protect myself. And then I am not, and you can put this in the comments, I'm not anointed to be my own defender.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not anointed to protect myself. It's the job of the Holy Spirit to protect me.
Right.
So even if the correction is off base and wrong, the Lord will bring that to light, and the Lord will keep me, and the Lord will protect me. But like where I've missed it in the past, I was more just flighty, you know, where if a correction's coming, I would just internalize, zone out and I'd be gone, you know, like, mm-hmm. so like, yeah, it's happening and I'm still present, but not mentally, you know, yeah. I'm just out of it, you know, and now my brain's just in another place to protect myself from the hurt yeah. of my flesh, yeah. really, like, and that was wrong. And then I started learning about communicating, you know, and how important it is to communicate and how important it is to, you know, to not run away from conflict, from healthy conflict, you know, and I'm learning these things. And so now I'm like, all right, I'm just going to defend myself, you know.
And I need to communicate.
Yeah, I need to.
Flesh is feeling.
Yeah, yeah, just to be glass house, I'm going to just defend myself now, you know, and that's not right. And so I would start defending myself, and then you know, more correction would come of stop defending yourself, just listen, you know. But I need to tell you how right I am, you know, and that's still my sure. flesh fighting, you know. I'm not yielding to the correction. I'm not, and it's not just the correction. I'm not yielding to the Holy Spirit at that point.
Yeah.
You know, like when the accusers came to Jesus, hey, with the woman caught in adultery. All right, what do you do? And yeah. they're pressuring him.
Yeah.
That's they're not bringing a healthy conflict into the situation. They yeah. were wrong, and they're trying to pressure him. But Jesus, in that moment, is not yielding to the pressure. He's not yeah. yielding to the situation. He's just there drawing in the sand. You know, the Bible says they kept pressing him, you know.
Yeah.
So I don't know how long Jesus was just ignoring them and not answering them. But what he was doing was he was yielding to the Spirit, you know. But yeah. in a moment of proper correction, though, in a moment of proper, all right, like these are some areas where you need to grow. Like Barrett was saying, my brain cannot get to the fight or flight where now I'm coming up with every reason why I'm right and trying to dismantle their argument, or after the fact, I'm in the shower having like the argument again and I'm winning every single, like coming up with every reason why they're wrong.
Yeah.
No, like I said, like, did you ever see like that meme?
Yes.
You know, me in the shower arguing my shampoo bottle.
My shampoo yeah. bottle. Yeah.
Like winning fake arguments. But that's fleshly fight or flight.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. where I'm trying to defend myself. I'm trying to protect myself. I'm trying to rise up and but like, I remember I was like talking about this once in youth. I was like, even if they're not right, it's not your job to do. Well, I'm not going to take the responsibility for something that's not my fault. I'm like, that's what Jesus did for you. You know, like he yeah. didn't defend himself. Like he, more than anything,
exactly.
he was more right than anybody, but he took the punishment. You know, the Bible actually specifically says he entrusted himself to the one who judges righteously.
Yeah.
He entrusted himself to God. And yeah. God worked it out. You yeah. know what I mean? But in those moments of correction, what we need to do is we need to identify the fight or flight of yeah. the flesh of I'm just going to run away mentally or physically. Sometimes we just want to leave, you know,
yeah.
I'm just going to walk out, you know, like,
yeah.
or just mentally check out. We need to identify those, stop that, identify the fight and the defend myself, stop that.
Yeah.
You know, however that looks like, it could be all 100% be up here or it could be out the mouth.
Yeah.
Either way, we need to identify that and stop that. Now, I'm not saying we don't communicate, but we need mm-hmm. to recognize, is this my flesh or is this the Spirit? And we need to, in that moment, yield to the Spirit, because the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, if I'm not in peace in my thoughts, if I'm not in peace, then I'm not in yielding to the Spirit in that moment. I'm yielding to my flesh, and I have to
yeah.
work on that, you know, and it sometimes it takes time to learn to put to death the flesh in those moments and yield to the Spirit. But when I yield to the Spirit, that produces life and peace.
Yeah.
All the time when I'm yielding to the Spirit. But
yeah.
and when my mind's set on the Spirit. When my mind's set on the Spirit, as the correction's coming, I'm thinking, Lord, help me to see this. Lord, help me to understand what's coming. Like I might in my natural logic not understand a single thing that's coming out of the correction. Like, I don't see this. I don't understand this. I don't see how that applies to me. Like, that's happened mm-hmm. many times. Like where correction's coming. I don't see it. Like, Pastor will say, do you see it? No. Like, honestly, like, I don't see it. And he said, well, just ask the Lord and he'll help you. And I'll, okay, man, Lord, help me. Then, like, later on, I'm praying, Lord, help me. And then he just starts pointing it out. Oh. Yeah, he's right. You know, but I wouldn't have gotten to that place if I didn't yield, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I wasn't asking the Lord, Lord, help me to see this. If I kept looking, and I've done this wrong too many times, but if I kept looking for reasons why I was right, I'm resisting the Holy Ghost. I'm resisting that correction. And honestly, yeah. I'm resisting my blessing.
Yeah.
Like, I'm resisting my blessing. Like, there have been many times correction was coming. And I'm thinking, like, as the correction's coming, how do I make this process quicker and simpler? You know, like further down the road, like, I'm, like, putting myself in pastor's position, you know, as I'm receiving the correction. And I'm like, we've had this conversation 15 times. How do I make this process easier for other people? I'm, like, thinking through this and stuff like that. And all, yeah. really all I had to do was just, I had to yield to yeah. the correction instead of like fight it and try to figure it out. I just had to yield to it.
Yeah.
I'm talking yeah. a lot, but yeah.
There, one thing that was coming up to me is we were recently talking to, we got the chance over the weekend to spend time with Pastor's dad mm-hmm. and we had such a interesting perspective talking to him about what the world used to be like, maybe, I don't know how long ago, several decades ago.
Yeah, 60, 70 years ago.
Yeah, it was very interesting because it was so different. And yeah. one thing that I realized through talking to him is I don't think we have a clue how much fear of the Lord that there used to be yeah. in society, like a healthy fear of the Lord yeah. and also a fear of elders and people. Like nowadays, there's no people. Now, there's a fear that leads to death. There's a yeah. fear of there's a wrong fear. But like Brother Tracy taught on at Kickstart and everything, there's a fear of God that is a reverent, holy, righteous fear of God is so big, and yeah. I'm reverent toward Him, and I have a healthy fear toward Him. And it's right. But nowadays, the society has gone so corrupt that doesn't exist anymore. Like one thing that shows that, for instance, is I think I've heard of somebody who, like, robbed somebody. They mm-hmm. came into their house, robbed them, and then the person was protecting themselves and mm-hmm. shot the person. And, like, I've heard of things like that person that was protecting their home, they went to jail,
mm-hmm.
like yeah. stuff like that.
Yeah.
I was asking Pastor's dad about that because he was telling a story, and he said back then, if someone crossed your property, they came mm-hmm. on your line, you could shoot them,
yeah.
and you could. He was talking about one person that someone just came up and kicked him in the shin. That's mm-hmm. all he did. He kicked him in the shin. But this person had a reputation of yeah. being a not good person.
Yeah.
So when that man kicked this other man mm-hmm. in the shin, this man, like, attacked him.
Yeah.
And he did not get repercussions for it. Mm-hmm. He attacked him. This man almost died.
Yeah.
He went to the hospital. He almost died. And nowadays, the man who ended up attacking him would have been sent straight to jail, went to prison and everything.
Yeah.
But a society had such a respect for elders, for treating yeah. each other with respect, that they knew this man who kicked him in the shin, he deserved that. He deserved yeah. to get set in his place.
Yeah.
And nowadays, people are not getting set in their place. And
yeah.
it's not just society. I recognize that's my own flesh, too. My dad, he jokes about it, but he talks about how when I was a little kid, he would correct me, and
yeah.
he says I acted like a San Quentin inmate. He said I would look at him, right? He would correct me, and I would look at him at, like, 3 years old. I would look at him dead in the eyes, and, like, I wouldn't show any type of, like, just remorse,
yeah.
nothing. I wasn't afraid of him at all
yeah.
at, like, 3 years old. That is the flesh. That is
yeah.
that is a very wrong nature, and that has to be taken out. We have to submit that.
Yeah.
So I'm saying, even me, my flesh, I was born with that corruption, that in my flesh,
yeah.
where I'm going to look at my dad and show zero respect.
Yeah.
So that's why it's so important to have that correction, to have,
yeah.
you know, like, children, parents correcting their kids properly. That has to get out of us, because
yeah.
it was in me at 3 years old. No one taught me that. That was just in there.
Yeah.
And I've had to correct that. I've had to get that out.
Yeah.
Even recently, I was talking to Pastor just recently, and so I realized, like, I don't think I've had a clue how much pride has been in my flesh.
Sure.
Like, if we're just being honest and humble, mm-hmm. I don't think we have had a clue yeah. how prideful our flesh has been and yeah. how that's been in there in little ways. It's trying to get in yeah. the way in little ways. Like, so anyway, my whole point is the yeah. fear of the Lord brings us into God's presence. And that is not something that we need to ignore. That is so important. And it, honestly, it's a wonderful thing because, like I said, yeah. where does it lead us? The presence of God. What's in the presence of God? Everything we need. It leads us into the throne room. This correction yeah. leads us to God. It leads us to life and abundance. It doesn't yeah. lead us to wrong things like that worldly correction we were talking yeah. about. This leads us to life.
Yeah. Well, you brought up the sin nature, and it's so true. The sin nature is set on judgment. It centers around judgment and condemnation. Judgment and condemnation. So if we're living by our flesh, anytime anybody brings up anything, a slight correction, a slight tweak in our lives, we have in the past through our sin nature, viewed it through the eyes of judgment and condemnation. They're attacking me. And that's where that pride has kicked in.
Yeah.
They think I don't know what I'm talking about, or they think less of me, or they're trying to attack me, or they're trying to whatever pride says. Viewed it through even godly correction, even when our pastors or Holy Spirit even has brought up conviction of, hey, change these ways because this will actually help you in the long run, and still viewed it as they're judging me. They're saying I'm so wrong. They're attacking my worth. They're attacking everything I've done. Don't they know I've been trying? And viewed a godly thing through the eyes of the flesh and judgment and condemnation. Mm-hmm. But the word says, see, in this verse that we know so well, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Go to verse 17 and put this in the comments. John 3:17. For God did not send his son into the world to judge the world,
mm-hmm.
but that the world through him might be saved. See, God didn't come. God's not convicting us. He's not sending our pastor saying, hey, tell them about this so that they can fix this. He's not, anytime we get correction from Holy Spirit, it's never to judge us. Never. Never. Hear that. Put that in the comments. God never convicts us to judge us. Jesus took on all the judgment, all of our judgment on the cross, so we don't have to be judged. God isn't judging us. He is, as a good father, trying to help us.
Yeah.
And once we change that perspective,
yeah.
all of correction, we view it totally differently.
Yeah.
I mean, I can tell you endless stories. We could be here for hours telling mm-hmm. stories of how my parents, as my parents, but also my pastors, have corrected me, and I viewed it through, man, they're saying I was wrong. They were judging me and viewing it through the eyes of the flesh. And I responded totally wrong, totally wrong. Mm-hmm. And it made that process like terrible. I mean, think of correction and how terrible it has been. And it was just like that. It was terrible. But when I started viewing it through the eyes of God, we don't operate fleshly anymore.
Yeah.
We operate through Holy Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And everything is different then.
Yeah.
When we start viewing it through what correction actually is, through the eyes of love.
Yeah.
It's totally different. And now I can truly say that when, not to say that my flesh hasn't felt uncomfortable, felt like, oh man, that stinks. I don't want to do that. Oh yeah, sure. My flesh has felt that. But I've truly, like the other day, pastor was telling me something, they were telling me both, something that I viewed wrongly my entire life that I should change now. I was like, oh man, my whole life, dang it. And I needed to change that. But truthfully, I can tell you, not to toot my own horn because it's not me, but through the eyes of Holy Spirit, it was such a joyful thing. I walked away feeling so light
yeah.
and so joyful, even though they just told me I was wrong. Yeah. They just told me I was doing something wrong. But did that take away from my value? Did that take away from anything? Not at all. I walked away, oh my goodness, I have so much more. Life is going to be so much better now. I'm so glad they loved me enough to point this out in love.
Yeah.
And it was truly a joyful thing. I was so much more happy from that point forward. I am so glad this is fixed now. Thank you, Lord, for helping me fix this and walking away so happily. And correction can truly become that. That's what it's supposed to be.
Yeah.
That's what it's supposed to be, is a joyful thing, bringing progress. You know, Holy Spirit gave me this analogy. It's like climbing the stairs. Have you ever, like, climbed a bunch of stairs and there's still more stairs to go, but your legs are so tired? Every single step is like, oh, it's so painful. But what is it doing? With every step, it's bringing you towards progress. Do you have to put down the flesh to take another step, put down the pain to take another step? But where is it getting you? Where are those steps getting you to? They're getting you towards progress. Mm-hmm. And if you keep crucifying that flesh, you keep going up the stairs, rocking it, you keep practicing and taking each step with joy, stop thinking about the pain and think about the progress, then before long, you're able to climb so many stairs, you don't even realize it. You forget you're doing something that used to be painful because you've done it so much with joy. It becomes a joyful thing. Correction's the same way. Take it with joy. Let's take it with peace. Focus on the progress. Stop focusing on the pain, the momentary pain of our legs, the momentary pain of, oh, I feel like they're attacking my pride. Good. Let the pride die. Let the pride die. I don't want it there anyways. Yep. Stop focusing on the pain. And focus on the progress.
Yeah.
And put that in the comments. Stop focusing on the pain and focus on the progress.
Mm-hmm. It truly is working a muscle.
Yeah.
That's really what it is we're working and disciplining that muscle to get stronger. Like Pastor brought it up yesterday in service, I used to be like the worst at getting corrected because I'd sit there and cry or I'd get in condemnation and it would knock me off course. And it would take me weeks. I'm not exaggerating. It would take me weeks to move past a correction from Pastor. Like, cause I'd get all in my head. Like, even if I received it with gladness, I'd be so in my head that I couldn't flow by the Spirit anymore, because I'd constantly be thinking, am I doing it right? Am I messing up? Is Pastor going to have to talk to me again? Am I gonna... whatever. And what it was doing was delaying my ability to flow in the Spirit of God. I'm not just talking my destiny of things I'm called to do. I'm saying it delayed my flow with Holy Spirit. And correction is supposed to bring us tighter into fellowship with the Lord. Like that's the beauty of correction, is it's designed to uproot anything that was hindering fellowship and hindering forward progress. But the more I would resist it, it was like I was trying to paddle upstream. I can't do I can't do that skillfully. And it took me so much longer to reach the destination I was supposed to get at. But doing what, like, and this is just a testimony to testify to what Abby just said. I've now been here for 10 years and Pastor can bring a correction to me and it's not going to ruin my day. Yeah. It's not even going to ruin my hour.
Yeah.
It might have an opportunity to dampen the moment, but I've learned, no, Pastor loves me. The Lord loves me even more. And God's only letting me hear this so that way we all can increase. I'm not going to freak out about it. It's going to be fine. And then fruitfulness could start coming. God wants to, he disciplines those he loves. He corrects those so that he can then use those. Like God is so faithful and wants, hear this, God is not going to allow us to be in a situation that we can't handle. His word says he's never going to allow us to face something that with him we can't handle. But until I learn how to yield to him, he can't really put me in many situations. Like if I'm called to turn a desert into an oasis, but I haven't even learned how to move forward when he says, take a step, he can't put me in the desert. I'll die there.
Yeah.
I won't be able to do the things God wants me to do if I don't know how to follow a command. Mm-hmm. That's the whole reason boot camp happens, is to teach and ingrain in those soldiers, this is how you yield. This is how you follow an order. This is what my voice sounds like. Move here, do this here. So that way, when the real battle happens, you don't die. And I know Buddy's brought that scripture up multiple times, like, and I'm paraphrasing it, receive correction so that you don't die. But there's a truth to it, because if God cannot instruct me on the sidelines, he won't put me in the main battlefield. He won't allow me to be used by that, like that, because he doesn't want me destroyed. But at the same time, if I don't know how to follow an instruction from God and I'm on the sidelines, I'm open target for the enemy.
Yeah.
Because he knows she's someone that doesn't know how to hear her father's voice. I'm just going to pick on her all day long till she dies herself. Because the thief comes only to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus came to give us life, but if I don't know how to follow his instruction, I won't get to life, and I'm sure not going to get to my destiny. But God wants that for all of us. He wants all of us to learn how to flow by the Spirit. He wants all of us to know his voice. He wants all of us to get good at saying, yes, sir. That's why Pastor prayed for years for military-minded people, not emotional babies. The people who would say, yes, sir, even if my foot is bleeding, I'm going to keep going because my foot's going to get healed along the way. I'm not going to look at myself and give myself an option over the instruction. The instruction is my mission, and I'm only going to do what the mission says to do. If I'm crying the whole way, my flesh is getting drug along because it's not the flesh in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
My spirit man's the one in the driver's seat.
Yeah.
And the people I've watched do that, I'm not saying everyone's been perfect. I haven't been perfect. Pastor said yesterday during the service that part of the correction was for him too. No one's calling themselves perfect except for Jesus. Yeah. But what we are saying is that the people who have made it their heart, I'm going to receive correction with joy. I'm going to receive it with gladness. This is going to help me. I'm not going to quit. Having done all, I'm going to stand. I'm going to keep pressing through.
Yeah.
Those are the people that the Lord can flow through.
Yeah.
The ones who have hardened themselves to it, those are the people who aren't here anymore. Whether we're talking metaphorically, they're not in the church anymore, or literally they're not on the earth anymore. God, like, and I know that that's a sobering thought, but it's reality. This isn't a game.
Yeah.
There's nothing about this that's a game. And yes, I want us to leave with hope. Yes, I want us to leave with joy. But just like the Holy Spirit brought a sobering yesterday in the service, there needs to be a sobering in us right now that this isn't the time to flirt with the things of God. This isn't the time to decide, you know what, I'm going to do it today, but not tomorrow. Or I'm just going to allow this bad thought to linger because it feels good. I'll take care of the other 99%. A little leaven leavens the whole lump.
Yeah.
And if we won't get this under control, God cannot, not will not, cannot use us the way that he wants to. And I don't know about y'all, but truly, like, that's why it's coming out like this from me. My heart is I want God to be able to look down and say, I can use her anytime. She's always bearing fruit. She always stands. I want her because she's consistent. And I want that consistency to be known in heaven, that when they scan the earth, it's found in me because I look like my big brother. I look like my father. I have the teacher in me. That's my heart, not just for me, but for you. I want that to be God's testimony of this company, of everyone attached to this vine. And it can be if we'll get real. Yeah. If we'll get reverent, if we'll recognize this severity of why it's important and esteem it.
Yeah.
All the while considering it joy.
Yeah.
Not getting so locked up of if I don't esteem it, I'm going to die. Not that garbage. That's condemnation and fear. But with joy, realizing my God loves me enough. He wants to instruct me. He wants to help me and he's willing to, and he'll do it every day. Wow. Yeah. I'm going to listen to you.
Yeah.
You're going to teach me to look like you.
Yeah.
That's the heart.
Yeah.
Oh, that was a hard cut right there.
I told you.
Yeah, it's perfect. No, cause what you just said goes right along with what I felt led to share. One of the things that I have had to have broken over correction in is that I thought that there was an expectation of perfection, and that any time that there was a correction that I had done something wrong and God was going to be upset with me, that he expected me to be perfect 100% of the time, and any time that I stumbled or I missed it, that he was mad at me. And that's not the case at all. He corrects us because he loves us.
Yeah.
He corrects us because he wants us to do better. He wants us to be more like him. It's not because he's mad.
No.
It's because he loves us so much. And I think the example that, that Pastor gives really sums it up perfectly. Pastor, and please help me remember this, because I'm probably going to get part of it.
I agree.
Praise God. Wait. Whoa. You guys hear me?
Thanks, George. George just ran out to the window and is now telling me that I need to talk closer. Praise God. But the example, I think Pastor gave it a couple weeks ago. I could be wrong, but what's the image? It's a kid playing next to a highway, and the kid doesn't know that cars are coming. Like, there's a Mack truck down the road barreling at him at 75 miles an hour. He can't see it, and he's running out into the road. And so his father, looking at him, yells at him to have him get back on the property, get off of the road. Now, it's not yelling. It may be a stern voice. It's not yelling in an upset tone. It may sound like it. It's yelling because he loves him. He doesn't want to see him hurt.
Yeah.
He doesn't want to see that child be injured. It's out of love. So no matter how the correction comes, it's not always going to be, like Marquis said earlier, it's not going to be coddling. It's not going to be, it's okay. Doing great. You're fine. Sometimes it's going to be a little stern.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's going to not feel great to the flesh. That's what the verse says. It's discipline for the moment, not joyful. It feels sorrowful, but it's good.
Yeah.
Because God's behind it.
Yeah.
And he wants us to grow. He wants us to do better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's where it's coming from. It's that heart of love.
Yeah. Well, and even like, cause there was just a real moment of it. William having the mic down here, while it's not like someone's dying, the Lord was in what you were just saying. So you have George running to the window to get your attention. You have both Buddy and Abby standing up, like snapping their fingers, like, William, see us. They weren't mad, but it's pay attention.
Yeah.
So that way the point of God can come across to the people.
Yeah.
Used to, not just you, literally everyone in the room, very much everyone in the room. If that had happened, I've watched us all where we'd be in the middle of ministering, pastor would make an adjustment, and then all of a sudden it's, oh no, I messed up on camera. Everyone just watched me. Everyone just saw me mess up. Is what I'm saying right anymore? Am I doing? Yeah. And then the correction, however slight, intending to amplify your voice, the correction would come through that lens of condemnation and cut off the flow of God.
Yeah.
Used to. You handled that so well. And praise God that we've all grown in that area. But how much more can we flow with God if we'll realize every correction's like that?
Yeah.
It's not to squash us. It's not to limit us. It's to amplify him in us.
Yeah. Well, it's coming from a place of God sees even more potential in our lives than we even do about ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like I wouldn't take hours upon hours upon hours upon hours training like a little ant to do something if I know it could never do it. It was never going to be able to do it. I'm just totally wasting my time, but I'm doing it anyways. Like, I would never do that. That's absurd to even think about if I knew it would never be able to, I don't know, fix me spaghetti or something. I know it's never going to be able to do that. I'm not going to take my time to do that. But God sees the potential even more than we do in ourselves.
Yeah.
He sees it in us, and he's taking the time to disciple us, to get us to the places, to get us to the heights, to get us to those places that he's placed those dreams inside of us to see. He's getting us to those places to see those dreams come to pass. But it's going to take discipline. You know, he's one thing that he's called us all to do is make disciples. How can we make disciples if we're not disciplined ourselves? Hear that again. How can we make disciples if we're not disciplined ourselves? We can't. We literally can't. We can't do that.
Yeah.
The reason Holy Spirit brings correction is because he sees the potential and he's getting us there.
Yeah.
And it's so important to look not so closely at each individual thing and to take a step back. So we can do that very easily with other people's lives. So look at every single great person in the Word. Look at the great heights that they reached, and then look back at their life. Look at the things that God corrected. Like, I love the story of David, but I mean, there's one point in particular in his life where he literally committed adultery. That's not a good thing. God corrected that. Obviously, he had to. He corrected that. how much more did David do after that? He did some great things after that.
Mm-hmm.
Great things. But what if he got so tripped up on that? I mean, he missed a big thing. That is a very, very large thing. And what if he just got so tripped up on that? Well, I can't believe God corrected me on this. Doesn't he know this? Or the opposite. Man, I am so bad. Why did I do this? How can I ever do anything good again? If I got tripped up on this, what else would I get tripped up on? Oh my goodness. And focusing so much on the problem, when as we're reading it, we're thinking, just go forward. There's so much. If you'll just move forward, learn from it and go forward. As we're reading, we're wanting him to just move forward. How much more can we do that in our lives?
Yeah, he did keep going forward. And he, not only did he commit adultery, he committed murder.
Yeah.
And, like, think of how well David handled that correction.
Amazing.
David wasn't even allowed to build the temple.
Yeah.
But he handled the correction so well. He loved God so much that he said, I can't build it, but I'll finance it.
Yeah.
My son will build it, but I'm going to at least give money toward it.
Yeah.
That is handling correction well.
Yeah.
That's handling, okay, I messed up and he handle condemnation well, but he handled consequence well.
Yeah.
He didn't accept the condemnation.
Yeah.
And there were consequences, but he loved God anyway.
Yeah.
But how many people nowadays, like myself included, where I've been is, oh my goodness, you're going to do that to me? I love you, God.
Yeah.
And you're going to, you know, there are consequences to my actions, or like how, you know, there's like this pride in us. But like one verse that was coming up to me is the verse in Job where God says, where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth?
Yeah.
And David, clearly, if he had all of that correction and he still chased after God, he clearly had some level of humility.
He was a man after God's own heart. The reason he was able to do that is because he knew the heart that it was coming from. Even that correction, stern correction, he knew the heart that it was coming from.
His child died.
Yeah, sure did. It was stern correction. But yet he still knew the heart of the Father. And that's how he was able to handle correction so well and move forward brilliantly, beautifully. And we see that and we can learn from that. Okay, if that's the right way to handle correction is with hope and joy and moving forward. You know, there's this verse in Proverbs. I mean, there's a lot. Proverbs 4, it says, verse 25, let your eyes look directly ahead and let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. He's commanding us, stop looking behind. Stop looking at the mistake. Even if you just did the mistake, all right, it's already 2 seconds behind you. Stop focusing on what's behind. Focus on the promises that God has ahead. Fix that. Okay, Lord, I fix my heart. Sorry, you know, sorry I committed adultery. Sorry I committed murder. Fix that in my heart. That is never going to happen again. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I'm chasing after you. You've only got promises and good things ahead of me. And that's what we've got to focus on. Focus our gaze straight ahead. Stop looking so much on the past.
Yeah.
If we keep dwelling on the past, that's all we're going to live out.
Yeah.
For the rest of our lives.
Well, growth without change is impossible.
Yeah. Right?
And honestly, change without revelation, you know, is impossible. Like, well, there's only two things that promote change. You know, this is in our leadership training, but two things promote change, either crisis or revelation.
Yeah.
The purpose of revelation is because God doesn't want you to get to crisis. You know? And if we ignore the revelation or if we ignore the correction, it'll lead to crisis. So so why don't we just change by that revelation? That's really what it is. It's let me bring this information and this revelation to you so that you can avoid that crisis and that you can go higher.
Yeah.
You know? And so that you can grow. And so when we're refusing correction, when we're resisting correction, we're resisting growth. When we're resisting you know, that revelation that the Lord's trying to bring to us, we're resisting our own growth. That's why the Bible says, obey your leaders, you know, in the Lord as those who keep watch over your souls, you know, and let this be a joy for them, not a sorrow, for that will not be profitable for you. You know, not for them, but for you. Because my obedience and my submission to that correction is the very thing that's going to bring me profit. And so that's why the Bible says he who hates reproof is stupid, you know, because you're biting yourself in the foot. You're what's the term? There's a term. You're hurting yourself
in the booty.
Oh yeah, that's what I was gonna say, but I didn't want to say butt. I'm like, that doesn't even make sense. So foot. Anyway, but you're like hindering yourself. You're hurting yourself in that process. Yeah. But like, if I can't receive correction, or if I can't submit to a man, how will I ever think that I can submit to God? Well, I don't need to submit to a man. You're not already not submitting to God, because the Bible says obey your leaders in the Lord. And it's talking about in context your spiritual leaders and your spiritual authority. That's why the first commandment with a promise is honor your father and mother. Because if I can't learn how to submit to someone that I can't see, how will I ever submit to a God that I can see?
Yeah.
And so there's that wrong belief that I don't need to submit to a person. I just submit to God. Like, well, even in that statement, you're not submitting to God. You know? Because of his system and the way that he set things up. But the purpose of that is so that I can grow. Again, growth without change is impossible. Yeah. If I were to ask anyone to like think about somebody else and the things that they need to correct, we can think of a bunch of things. But the thing is, that person probably doesn't know that they need to make those corrections, because they can't see themselves from that outward perspective.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right? I guarantee you that same person's looking at you saying these are some things that they need to correct as well.
Yeah.
Sure.
Because I don't see what I need to change, or else I would be changing them.
Yeah.
But if I could see what I need to change and I'm not changing them, I'm rebellious and I'm just like mm-hmm. I'm dumb. But like, but what I need to do is I need to be willing to open myself, honestly, to humble myself to everybody around me, like not saying that I should give everyone an allowance to correct me and to guide and lead my life.
Sure.
But like, there's things that you've said that have brought correction to me that I've needed to grow in, you know, even in the broadcast, you know, or like there, I remember one time, like shortly after I got here, it was like in the middle of pre-service prayer. And you just prayed something out. It was like something simple, like, Lord, I thank you that your word doesn't say that I need to have everything together to receive from you. Like something like that simple. And all of a sudden, like that was the beginning of a revelation of righteousness for me.
Glory to God.
And I'm like, oh, it doesn't say that. You know what I mean? Because like I was trying to like get all the things in order so that I could receive, you know, and just something as that was a correction. That you were just praying to God, you know, like, but there was a correction that came from that aspect of it that kind of helped me to grow in that aspect. Mm-hmm. Or I could have been like, you know, I need to get all my things together, you know, but I need to be willing to open myself up, you know, like Pastor says it this way, and you can put this in the comments, always be open for instruction, correction, and redirection.
Yeah.
We need to always be open. Because if I'm always open to that, when it comes, I'm not going to be surprised and defensive. A lot of times comes, it's because we're not open to it. Or a lot of times we're surprised and we're held off, or we get into fight or flight mode because we're not actually open and expecting God to give us opportunities to grow. You know, and here's an opportunity to grow. Let me fight it because I wasn't expecting it. You know what I mean? But if I'm always open for the Lord instructing me, correcting me, and redirecting me, however he sees fit, not just from like a heavens open up and the Lord says, fix this. Okay. Like, that's what I'm looking for. No, like, even when it comes in a broadcast and they say something that I don't like, that could be the very same thing, that I can be open and receive it. Okay, this is an opportunity for my growth. Praise God. I'm going to receive that and ask the Lord, Lord, help me and show me what I need to do today. And then that's where growth comes. That's where change comes. That's where, you know, that's where I'm able to actually enter into the fullness that God has for me.
Yeah. And it comes from seeing the end goal.
Mm-hmm.
What's the end goal of the Lord's correction, of him bringing correction to us, whether through Holy Spirit or through our pastors or even through our peers?
Yeah.
What is the end goal of him bringing correction or redirection? Yeah. And it is hope.
Yeah.
It is growth. It is progress. Yeah. It's growth not only for us, but how we affect others, our mission for others, discipling others, getting other people saved.
Mm-hmm.
It's not only affecting ourselves and making our whole lives better, but everyone around us too. That's the end goal.
Yeah.
So we've got to view it through that. And as we view it through that, instead of the end goal is to beat me up or to condemn me, and I'm going to be, the end goal of this is for me to be beat down. If I accept this I accept this correction, then I'm going to be beat down. My worth is going to be less than what it was before they brought this up, or whatever it is, whatever pride says. What is the end goal of the Lord bringing this correction? Even if it hurts, even if it stings, it cuts my flesh, he's bringing it up to make things better. The end goal, if I receive this, is better, is growth for me and those around me. Well, absolutely. Lord, let it sting. It's just like putting alcohol in a cut. Mm. Well, it can feel better in the moment to not put the alcohol in the cut. But the end goal of that is infection. And I mean, you could lose a limb from that. Or put alcohol in the cut. Yeah, it stings. Ooh, I don't like it. But I would prefer that because it ends up saving my life in the long run. Yeah. I don't die from infection getting all the way to my heart. I would much rather, look, please give me the alcohol. Where is it to put that in my cut? Mm-hmm. Give me the correction right now. Bring up correction. I seek correction. I've told my parents, what can I correct? Is there anything you can tell me to correct right now? Anything that I've been doing that you see that I can correct right now? Because I want to do it better. I want to live better. I want to fix it. I'm willing to take the momentary pain if it makes my life, my eternal life, and those around me, their lives better, 100%, all the way. I look forward to it. And that's the way we've got to look at it. Everything that the Lord brings up, going back to our title, everything the Lord says, everything He does, everything He brings up to us is good.
Yeah.
It is for good. It is loving. Even if it doesn't feel like it, it is all good. It is all love. And when we view it through that, correction isn't a scary thing anymore. You know, a correcting message yesterday, I was just from the Lord's grace, I was sitting there laughing on the front row. I enjoyed yesterday's message so much. It was an amazing message. I was cracking up, crying sometimes. It was such a good message. Was it convicting? 100%. Yes. Was there things pointed out that I need to correct? 100%. Many times. Many things. But why was it a joyful and peaceful thing? Because I know that correction is leading me to triumph.
Yeah. Amen.
Praise God that He pointed this stuff out yesterday, because this means better. Yeah.
Amen.
Praise God. I'm so excited for better. And we can look forward to it. It doesn't have to be a scary thing. Mm-hmm. Nothing that the Lord brings up is scary anymore, because it's all good. It's all love.
Yeah. Amen.
Do y'all have anything up? Anything as we wrap up this broadcast today over there? No. Well, glory to God. We just want to pray. We're going to seal this today.
Yep.
We're going to seal this. Correction is no longer a scary thing. It's no longer something that we don't even look forward to. We look forward to correction.
Yeah.
We're praying. We're sealing this in. Would one of y'all like to pray just over the people? And let's all agree together. Lord, I'm receiving Your love today.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Am I the one praying?
I don't know. It doesn't matter to me. I can pray.
Okay. You get this.
Thank you, Lord. Let's just, you don't have to repeat after me. I mean, you can if you want to, but just pray with me and be in agreement with me as I pray. But Lord, thank you so much for your correction. Thank you, Lord, that you correct those that you love. And even this message today, thank you, Lord. You're preparing our hearts right now so that in the future, there is correction, we'll handle it and we'll move forward. Thank you, Lord, for all the things that you're doing on the earth right now. You're getting ready. You're getting us ready for this end time harvest. You're getting us ready for the latter rain that will be greater than the former. You're getting us ready for the glory of God, your glory to be filling the earth. Thank you, Lord. You're cleaning the vessels. You're making vessels ready and able to hold your glory. That's what this is for. That's what this message is for. So thank you, Lord, for that glory. Thank you for making us able and adequate ministers. Thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit that's cleansing every heart right now, that's renewing every mind right now, so that we may be able to carry that glory to the earth, to the lost and the hurting. Thank you, Lord, that because of this message, we will not be sifted away. We won't be shaken away. The things of the earth will be shaken, but we will not be shaken. We will stand firm. We will be the trees that are planted by the river, who do not move, whose leaves do not wither, who are fruitful in each season. So thank you, God. thank you for this word. Lord, Holy Spirit, I ask for you to seal it in every person's heart. Every person who is willing, seal their hearts right now so that as we continue to move forward, we are not those who get sifted, but we are those who stay planted.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lord, for your love to give this word so that we can be carriers of the glory and go forward in your calling in each ministry, this ministry, the ministries that are connected and partners. Thank you, Lord, for increase.
Yeah.
That's what this message was about, was increase. So thank you, Lord, for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Well, thank you guys for joining us so much. This was a great, great broadcast.
It was good.
Yeah,
God,
it was
a good
amazing
step for us. God wouldn't be giving us this. That's what I was picking up as I was praying. Was God would not be giving us this message if he didn't have direction for us
exactly
in the future. And technically, any direction could be looked like as correction.
Sure.
If he just says, hey, turn right. Technically, if we were going straight, that could be looked at as correction, but it's also direction. It's also, God's just leading us into triumph right now.
Yeah. We've never lived this life before. We're all living it for the first time. And sometimes you don't know how to get to somewhere you've never been before. We're all experiencing things for the first time. So God giving a redirection isn't, oh my goodness, why didn't you know this? Oh, you're so bad.
No.
Go this way. You've never experienced this before. This is the right path to go. That's redirection. It's a great thing.
Yeah.
It's a great thing. And honestly, I was talking to the staff this morning just about this word. And truthfully, this is something, I don't say this lightly. I say this with all of my heart. If we will, self-included, grab a hold of this completely with faith and with joy, and with peace, this will change every single one of our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Every single one. Skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
Because there is no way that we can look hopefully at and joyfully at the Lord's correction, receive it, change it, and keep going full of joy, and our lives not change.
Yeah.
Not go even higher, even better. There, it is impossible. It is impossible to humbly receive the word of the Lord, change it, and go forward in joy. It is impossible for our lives to not change so much for the better.
Yeah.
Skyrocket.
Mm-hmm.
It is completely against the word for that not to happen.
Yeah.
So I am so excited as this is the word that the Lord's been bringing up, you know, on Sunday, on the word today, throughout the week, that this is the word that the Lord is bringing up. I'm so excited because what does that mean for the people? What does that mean for our lives? What does that mean for your life?
Yeah.
I'm excited to watch it happen.
Yeah.
I really, really am. There is better. There is more. As great as it's been, there's even greater.
Yeah.
There's even greater. Well, I'm excited to see what that looks like.
Yeah.
So if you haven't already, please like and share this broadcast. Spread this word. Spread this hope.
Yeah.
Let's get this out there. People need to hear this. And we're going to pass it on to Barrett and William to do the tithes and offerings, the offerings. But thank you for joining us. We really love you. Thank you for sticking around, hearing the word, humbly receiving it. Thank you guys for joining us each and every day. And we'll see you again tomorrow at noon.
Yeah, thanks for being here. If you would like to partner with this word today, you can do so by scanning the QR code that Sammy's about to put up or going to giveww.org. You don't have to. This is a free word that we are excited to get to sow into you. Just like the Lord sowed his son, we get to sow our lives into you. Every single weekday, every day, but you know, every weekday we're here and we're excited about the word getting to you. If it's stirred in your heart and you know, the Lord is leading me to sow financially today, to partner with the word, to partner with the grace that's on the ministry, then as we said, you can use any of the different giving platforms that are up there. But if you sow today, if you hear that word and you're choosing to be obedient to it, then know you're not just sowing into an institution. You're sowing into a kingdom that cannot return void. And when we sow and invest our lives, God returns dividends. He returns big. The harvest back is not the same as what was originally sowed. The seed is so much lesser than the harvest that comes back after it's been planted. So today, if you're sowing, we're going to pray over it and we're going to believe God has a big return coming back for you in the name. Bless it.
I'm going to bless it. I'm also going to hold the mic closer to my mouth. Father, thank you. Thank you for the word today, Father. Thank you that you love us enough to correct us. Thank you for every seed sown. Thank you that this is good ground and what we sow will not return to us void. Yeah. Thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.